Spring has sprung at Gold Leaf Nursery, which is back open, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So, saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with our new statuary, including a variety of bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Gold Leaf Nursery, back open Wednesday through Saturday.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. You know, one way in which we could actually become much more united as a nation is if MSNBC and CNN went out of business. And these Democrat Party front groups like Mediaite and Media Matters disappeared. I'm not saying the government should do that. I'm just stating a fact. You know, they like to set the narrative. They like to create the so-called reality. The right wing versus the left wing. I'm not right wing. Are you? Being a traditionalist, a constitutional conservative, that's not right wing. That's not white supremacy, white domination. I believe in the principles and traditions of this nation, don't you? I believe in equality for everybody under the law, don't you? I believe if you work hard, you should be able to keep what you make, don't you? I don't care what somebody's race is, do you? And yet today we're told, you must, and on and on and on. My point is that there are divisive forces in this country. And the American Marxists, this is what they preach. Whether they're in the media, whether they're in our colleges and universities, whether they're teaching at these colleges and universities, their books, and so forth and so on. This is who they are. This is what they do. It's racism constantly. It's hate America constantly. It's hate the cops constantly. And the political vessel through which they operate is the Democrat Party. It's always been. If you hate America and you hate people, you work through the Democrat Party. Whether it's slavery or segregation, 150 or more years ago, all the way up to the 1950s and 60s, where they supported Jim Crow laws, or their embrace now of American Marxism, but never embrace Americanism. Never. They are now promoting anti-Semitism and the anti-Semites within their ranks. You see them on TV, you see them within their caucus. Of course, racism is the coin of the realm for them. They embrace, as I said before, Louis Farrakhan and just dress it up as scholarship. But it's not scholarship. It's pure hate. That's what it is. I mentioned earlier the FBI spied on 3.3 million Americans without a warrant. Top House Republicans, writes Joseph Lord at Epoch Times, which is a fantastic site, are demanding answers from the FBI after court-ordered information came to light showing that the FBI had collected the information of over 3 million Americans without a warrant. In a May 25 letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray, Representatives Jim Jordan and Mike Turner asked Wray to explain why his agency had wiretapped and gathered personal information on over 3.3 million Americans without a warrant. Limited authority to gather foreign intelligence information is granted by the FISA Act, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, specifically Section 702. But this power can grant an expanding circle of possible searches to the FBI and other intel agencies who can use the same power against American citizens who had any interaction with targeted foreigners. This is why I'm explaining. When you have a list of who are the bad cops, what do you mean by that exactly? We know there's quote-unquote bad cops, and we know there's tens of thousands of bad people who are criminals. But what does that mean? You need some absolute detail. Historically, insight into how FISA has been used against American citizens has been limited and hidden behind classified reports. But a November 2020 decision by the FISA court, which serves as a supposed watchdog for U.S. intelligence agencies, required that the Office of the Director of National Intelligence report, quote, the number of U.S. person queries run by the FBI against Section 702 acquired information. In total, queries against U.S. citizens came out to a jaw-dropping, ready, 3,394,053 searches. By comparison, only 1,324,057 such inquiries were made in 2020, representing a 250% increase during the first year of the Biden administration. They're into surveillance, unlawful surveillance. That's why they wanted their little Ministry of Truth. According to the Office of National Intel, more than half of those queries, almost 2 million, were part of the larger investigation of alleged Russia attempts to target or weaken U.S. critical infrastructure. The office reported and admitted that on at least four occasions, the FBI failed to get FISA approval before accessing the contents of information collected. It's not the first time the FBI has been caught red-handed overstepping its legal authority. It seems to me they're systemically focused on undermining law-abiding citizens. In their letter to Wray, Jordan and Turner laid out a laundry list of questions about the report, demanding further transparency. Isn't it interesting that the Democrats don't do this? They control the Congress. Isn't it interesting that they're not focused on this at all? And the vast majority of them weren't upset with this Ministry of Truth. And the vast majority of them support a database against the cops. Isn't that interesting, ladies and gentlemen? And they go around saying there aren't universal background checks to get a gun when in fact there are. Like the idiot coach, Steve Kerr, going on and on. It's amazing. On one side of their mouth, they tell you, do not trust law enforcement. Out of the other side of their mouth, give federal law enforcement and federal bureaucrats more power in violation of the Bill of Rights to monitor, to surveil, and to control the individual. Well, which is it? Which is it? Do you trust law enforcement or you don't? The problem is, when it comes to local and state law enforcement, they treat them as the enemy. They're at war with them. But when it comes to federal law enforcement, which they feel they can control politically, there are very few limits that they won't oppose. Excuse me, very few limits that they will support. Very few. So they want all kinds of power to shut down your First Amendment rights, your Second Amendment rights, other constitutional rights. But when it comes to common criminality that affects you directly, then they attack the cops. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, I'm Erin Resner, and I'm running for Shasta County Supervisor in District 1. As a local business owner, mother of four, and current Redding City Council member, public safety is a top priority. That's why, while as acting mayor, I led the council in approving a crisis intervention response team within the Redding Police Department, which has successfully assisted many citizens in crisis. If you want to be part of creating a stronger and better Shasta County, then vote for me, Erin Resner, for Shasta County Supervisor on June 7th.
Paid for by Erin Resner for Supervisor 2022.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
When the U.S. Constitution authorizes two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver, but our government abandoned gold and silver over 50 years ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have skyrocketed over the last year amid growing political and economic uncertainty. Experts say precious metal prices are headed much higher in the months and years ahead. So to help protect my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer. Silver walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-289-2646, which spells 800-BUYCOIN. That's buy coin. Silver walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. That's 800-289-2646, which spells 800-BUYCOIN.
He's passionate.
Just pathetic.
He's funny.
Get off the phone, you big dope.
And you always learn something. Mark Levin is on the radio.
Let me just say this. You know, during these breaks, it's really hard to break away from yesterday's events. And I just, as I told you, during these kinds of breaks, I sit here and I give a lot of thought to these various subjects. The answers, not perfect answers, but the more perfect answers, to what took place yesterday, to what took place 2 weeks ago or so in Buffalo, are going to be found in state governments. And not all of them. And not all of them. We need to get back to law and order. We need to get back to locking up people who commit crimes. We need to get back to giving authority to officials to punish people. I don't mean to surveil them and round them up and that sort. No. If somebody has done something wrong, police shouldn't be afraid to arrest them. If somebody is psychologically unbalanced, people shouldn't be afraid to report them and to treat them. Now, interestingly, and sadly, none of that relates to what took place yesterday in Texas. The systems in place at the federal level for gun sales can't predict if somebody has nothing in their background that's reportable. Can't predict it. You have a lot of people who are depressed, who are loners. Unfortunately, probably millions of them in this country. They're not going to murder anybody. They're not going to harm a fly. And I said that before, that people with mental issues are now being stereotyped as potential killers. Anybody who's a mass killer by definition has a loose screw, but that's not what I'm talking about. And I love all these people, commentators and experts. If we only did this, if we only did that, maybe this wouldn't happen. Maybe. But the gentleman who called last night, who lost his daughter and four grandchildren in that church in Texas, he had it right. As did a pastor who called. These experts, what do they really know? What are they telling us? They're telling us things after the fact. So this is why I said yesterday, and I want to emphasize today, this evening. Parents, you need to get to these school boards, and you need to demand a say and a role in the security of your children. Just as you are rightly, importantly, critically, demanding a role in the curriculum that's chosen, and the curriculum that should not be used to indoctrinate your children to hate. To hate. Because hate leads to violence. Racism leads to violence. And in my view, critical race theory will lead to violence. I mean, what do you expect when you're telling people that they live in a certain society where they can't achieve because of that race over there? Or telling people they can't succeed because of what people did 100 years ago. This is a very dangerous ideology and fuse that is being lit. So you parents, you need to get into these school board meetings more than before. And put this at the top of your list. You're hearing it here. Eventually the backbenchers will regurgitate it. That's how they work. But I'm telling you, you need to demand muscled up security around the schools and in the schools. And if your school board won't do it, you got to do everything you can to get rid of them. And go to chapter 7 of my book and that'll help you out. Those of you who have it. Those of you who don't get it at the library. I'm not hawking anything. But the reason why so many people know how to use FOIA or to file tax complaints now or to go to shareholder meetings, it's all spelled out right there. Share it. Share it. If you're a block captain, remember what I talked about? Developing these community groups all across the country with parents and taxpayers? If Share the information. But you're going to save your kids. Nobody else is going to do it for you. These nut job politicians at the national level who are like having who just like talking to each other or hearing themselves speak, they don't have the answers. They have agendas. They have ideologies. You should demand police in your school in one form or another, if not active duty policemen or policemen who are, you know, you can pay police if their department allows them when they're not working, you can pay them for time to help protect your kids. I mean, we have a lot of resources out there, ladies and gentlemen. We have retired cops. We have retired military. We have, yes, NRA trainers. We have all kinds of people who are proficient with weapons, proficient with security. Surely as many who teach critical race theory, I would think. And this should be a subject. You know, in the 1950s, when there was actual fear of a possible, I guess it was the 1960s, the nuclear war, 60s. You know, the recessions you would have in school, preparation and so forth. It's a terrible thing. We don't do that anymore. There's very little you can do in the classroom confronting nuclear war, responding to it. But what about every now and then? Every now and then, the teachers, the students, the administrators prepare for the unthinkable. Maybe that'll save a few lives. Isn't that important? In other words, we ought to be putting together lists, and if they're long lists, so be it, of things that might be done that might save little kids and their teachers. We don't even do that, do we? We're distracted with the latest Democrat Party ideology that the teachers' unions want to impose on our children. All we hear is, I've had enough. This can't go on anymore. Not in a country like ours. Okay, got it. But they're not going to pass legislation that will stop this in Washington because there's nothing to pass that can stop it. At the lowest level, the neighborhood level, we have neighborhood community watch groups, volunteers who participate. You have guardian angels. You have volunteer fire departments. How about we have volunteer children guards working with local police? There's so many things that can be done that might, just might prevent one of these incidents. But if you're not allowed to think outside the box, here's my advice. Don't watch MSNBC. Don't watch CNN. Don't read the New York Times. Don't read the Washington Post. Don't listen to any of these liberal rags that are out there, these folks. They're going to tell you what you already hear from them day in and day out. Don't. You get together with people in your neighborhood. You get together with fellow parents. You get together and figure out what you think is best for your school to protect them. To protect your kids, and then go into that school district. These are trying times, folks. The very freedom secured by our Constitution is under attack by the most extreme leftists our nation has ever seen. But there are plenty of patriots with the courage to stand up to these people, and there's an easy way for you to learn more. Join AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. AMAC members have access to money-saving benefits and discounts, a robust website, a mobile app featuring daily content from the AMAC newsline writers, and a magazine filled with insightful, original content. Like me, AMAC delivers what the mainstream media won't, the truth. With well over 2 million freedom-loving members, AMAC is a voice for conservatives that cannot be ignored. So join AMAC for the benefits and discounts. Join AMAC for the information, and most importantly, join AMAC because America needs you. Stay informed with me and over 2 million others by joining today. Visit AMAC.us, that's AMAC.us.
AMAC.us.
California is headed in the wrong direction. Let's make sure we have representatives who fight for us. Assemblyman James Gallagher is that type of representative. When fires destroyed local homes and towns, James Gallagher forced Sacramento to act and got us the needed resources to rebuild. When the Oroville Dam failed, James Gallagher fought the bureaucrats to get the dam fixed and help those that were affected. James Gallagher has always been a fighter for us.
This is James Gallagher. Gavin Newsom and his liberal allies don't listen to us, don't understand our values, and don't care about our part of California. I took Newsom to court to stop his unconstitutional power grab, and I'm fighting the bad ideas, excessive taxes, and high gas prices that are harming our state. With your support, I'll keep fighting for you.
Paid for by James Gallagher for State Assembly 2022.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risks to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta College today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
So if you're still with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, folks, you're getting ripped off. You're paying way too much money for the exact same top-line service that Pure Talk can give you, and you can save over $900 a year. I'm trying to find ways for you to save as much money as you possibly can. And with Pure Talk, you don't have to compromise. You don't have to compromise coverage with America's most reliable 5G network. You don't compromise on price. You choose a plan and price that's right for you. And you don't have to compromise on your values. You'll be supporting a company whose customer service is right here in the U.S. and whose CEO proudly served our country. It is a patriotic company. There's every reason for you to make the switch. I made the switch. I really encourage you to do it. Unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data, just $30 a month. That's it. And here's how you do it. They make it as easy as can be. From your cell phone, dial #250, say Mark Levin, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. And you'll literally be switched over to Pure Talk service in less than 10 minutes. It is not painful. It is easy. And you're going to wonder why you didn't do this sooner. Dial #250, say Mark Levin. #250, say Mark Levin. All right, let's take some calls. People have been wanting to speak. Many of you have been waiting a long time. Eureka, California, Mark, the great KINS. How are you, sir?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for all that you do. Let me preface this by saying I'm not a parent, and I'm not even a teacher, and I'm no longer a gun owner. But I'd like to make a point by asking a question. Mm-hmm. 100 years ago, we had less gun regulation in this country.
Almost 100
none. Years ago, did we have as many mass murders in schools?
Well, I don't think so. I don't know that we had a public school system like we have either, but I get your point, which I think is a fair point. I just think there's a lot that is contributing to this, and the politicians think that people want a simple answer. And for so many of them, the simple answer is to take away certain of your constitutional liberties. And by the way, when they come for the Second Amendment, they've been coming for the First Amendment, too. In fact, they've been coming for the Supreme Court and the entire Constitution. You cannot trust these people or their mega mouths, or I should say ultra-propagandists and ultra-demagogues in the media, like the Joe Scarboroughs and so forth. These are profoundly stupid people. Thanks for your call, Mark. Thank you, my friend. Let's continue. Steve, Annapolis, Maryland, XM Satellite, home of our buddy O'Connor and Company. Go right ahead.
Well, yeah. I've been on Tom Sullivan's show numerous times because he knows me. But here's
what does that have to do with me?
I'm a forensic psychiatrist for 20 years.
All right.
I am a board-certified psychiatrist for 35 years. There is, and I will send you anything you want to prove who I am.
You don't have to prove. What's your point, my friend?
Well, I just think it's crazy. There is nothing that has been proven that has made any difference in the craziness of these deaths. This death is horrible. Everybody's got to say the death is horrible. Don't you agree?
I'm not sure what your point is, though. What's crazy? What are you trying to say?
I think.
All right. Thanks for your call. I'm at a loss. I don't know what to say. I can't have dead air. But I'm just saying I'm not sure. Maybe he was nervous or something and called back maybe tomorrow. Not trying to be rude. I just don't know where we're going with this. Terry, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the great WPHT. Go right ahead.
Mark, thanks for taking my call.
About a year and a half ago, you had Rudy Giuliani on the shootings in the city and the drug deal, the whole bit. They got to go after these guys under the RICO statute, and you know it could be done. You're a constitutional.
Well, why would they go after these guys under the RICO statute when they won't go after these guys under the criminal statutes? That's the problem. What's that?
Yeah. The fellow that shot the guy on the Long Island Railroad, the prosecutor wanted a $100,000 bail. The judge reduced it to a dollar. Mm-hmm. He had 15 priors. Okay?
Listen, you're not going to get an argument from me. What I'm trying to understand is what makes you think the same office would bring different charges when they won't do what they're supposed to do in the first place?
Well, it goes back to Holder.
Well, it may go back to Eric Holder. It may go back to Athens. I don't know. But I just know they're not going to do it. And so there's a lot of work to be done here to rebuild this culture and this society, I think, from the damage that's been done from within by these American Marxists. And these Republicans, if they take over the House and or the Senate, but definitely the House, the Senate is just very passive under McConnell and company. They need to start holding it. They need to talk with Soros under oath. They need to find out what his organizations are up to, the funding of these prosecutors who are participating in the destruction of our cities, and in my view, the rampant crime that's going on. They need to hold hearings in the Black Lives Matter and get to the bottom of what that organization has been doing, given the fact that they're not helping anybody but themselves, and they've created enormous damage to this country with their Marxist and anti-Semitic ideologies. These things need to be looked into, too. We need to see the connections between Nancy Pelosi and many of these organizations, and Nancy Pelosi and why she failed to do what a speaker should do to protect the Capitol on January 6th, despite apparently many red flags given to her. There's a lot that needs to be done to get this society back in functioning order. Including looking in the Attorney General and why he's targeting parents even to this day, looking into the Secretary of DHS and why he absolutely refuses to secure the border. There's just so much going on in this country that is insane, absolutely insane. So, you know, we can throw out the word RICO, that's perfectly fine, but if you don't have the right people, they're not going to bring RICO cases. Terry! Thank you very much, my friend, from my home city, city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with a jackass mayor and a jackass district attorney. The city's going to hell, may I say, with all due respect. It just is, like so many of these cities. Let's go to Bob, Longport, New York, XM Satellite. Bob, go right ahead, please.
Yep, it's Lockport, New York. I'm just north of Buffalo where they had the shooting last
week. Yeah, go right ahead.
That's okay. thank you for what you do. I'm calling about the baby formula thing.
Yeah.
I know Biden, within the last week, finally decided to let imports in and finally decided to reopen the plant. I think it's a direct result of the truck drivers calling into the radio programs and saying, hey, we're delivering truckloads of baby formula to the border. And somebody went in and woke him up from his nap and said, the word's out. I think we got to do something finally.
Mm-hmm. You could be right. Because this was, and not only that, they brought in a big military plane filled with baby formula, and none of it hit the shelves. It was for this group here, this organization here, maybe the hospital over here, and so forth and so on. So it had absolutely no effect on what's happening to people in their real lives. And he pretends that he's worried about people. The border's wide open. Fentanyl, you talk about killing young people, has killed 110,000 people, a record. It's coming over the border. It's manufactured in communist China. They push it through our southern border. It's great, great damage to mostly our young people that's taking place here. We have the drug cartels getting footholds in our major cities all across the border states, but also in the interior of the country, because he has the borders wide open. We have MS-13 coming in here. We have people, potential assassins and terrorists coming into this country. They know the border's open. I mean, right now, we've just lucked out that we haven't had a major terrorist attack, and everyone's like, what happened? What happened? Well, it's got to be Putin and the Republicans. I don't even know where to start here anymore. But the baby formula, this was a government-created shortage, not the private sector. And if it were, I would tell you. I have no special, you know, I'm not a special pleader for any of these guys. I'm telling you, the government created the shortage. It would not allow. Look, even if you believe the Abbott facility, Abbott Nutrition, has to be shut down, don't you take measures to open up the importation of baby formula from European countries? They didn't even do it. They didn't do anything. They did literally nothing. So you shut down a company that's producing 40% of the baby formula, and then you say, we got an oligopoly, monopoly here. Open the damn importation of baby formula from Europe. They have an excess amount. They're feeding it to their babies. These are advanced industrialized countries. And only last week does he open it. And then the FDA says the letter from this so-called whistleblower was lost in the mail. For what? For 3 months? And you're right. It got his attention when somebody found out. The congresswoman found out, actually. When she found out that there were piles and piles of baby formula on the border waiting for illegal alien children to come across. Bob, thanks for your call. Excellent call. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Residents of District 5 in Greater Shasta County, this is Dan Gallier, proud City of Anderson resident and business owner. I'm proud to endorse Baron Browning for supervisor and hope you'll join me in voting for stability and solutions for Shasta County. Baron has invested his heart in the City of Anderson, is our current mayor, and has operated several small businesses in District 5. Baron's proven track record and success leading the City of Anderson can be seen across our community. Ag and local small businesses, public safety, and community leaders are squarely behind Baron and know he is the best qualified candidate in this race. Please join me in voting for Baron Browning and let's
get out the vote, Shasta County!
And paid for by Shasta Vote, informing voters and electing qualified candidates, supporting Bridget for district attorney, Johnson for sheriff, Darlene Allen for clerk, Flores for superintendent, Browning and Reznor for supervisor 2022. Committing major funding from Sierra Pacific Industries and Piscata Band of Nomwaki Indians. Not authorized by a candidate or committee controlled by a candidate.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's
365-3793. Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Be quiet now so he can educate you.
Whether you like it or not, Mark Levin is on the radio.
It's hard to it's hard, isn't it, folks, to separate yourself from what took place in Texas and Buffalo and these places. It's just hard to separate yourself from these things. It's hard to move on from it, to be thinking about the parents and the families. Summer's right around the corner. Genesel celebrating early with their summer clearance sale. Now you can save over 60% on Genesel's most popular package of Genesel.com. Go to Genesel.com/Mark. Genucel.com/Mark. Order today and get Genesel's Dark Spot Corrector to visibly reduce those pesky dark spots for free. You know the spots that the sun causes? Here's another Genesel success story from Cynthia H. from Arlington, Virginia. I actually think I know who Cynthia H. is, Mr. Producer. After using Genesel products, my husband said, "You look young. Whatever you're doing is working." He didn't know about Genesel. "I've tried expensive products, and Genesel is the best," she said. Folks, results are real. Millions of amazing Americans are in love with this. Genesel guarantees results or your money back. Now, that's what's key. Genesel guarantees results or your money back. And sign up for Genesel's best-in-class rewards program at checkout for an extra 10% off your order and complimentary gift set. Go to Genesel.com/Mark for 60% off, Genucel.com/Mark, and her promo code Mark at an extra 20% off. And right now, every most popular package includes Genesel's immediate effects results in as little as 12 hours. That's Genesel.com/Mark, Genucel.com/Mark, code Mark. All right, Joe, Ithaca, New York, the great Wham, W-H-A-M. How are you, Joe?
Yes, sir. All right tonight, Mark. Can you hear me all
right? All right, brother.
All right. So I wanted to say that I think the culture of this country is really affecting the minds of children all over it, and that's what's leading to these shootings, among other tragic incidents.
I think that is the key. I think that it's complicated, but I think that is the key, and that it has tentacles. And that the people who've created this culture, the people who double down and triple down and quadruple down on what they're doing to our society and our culture, have no intention of stopping. And so they want you to look at inanimate objects. They want you to look at guns. They lie about background checks, which already exist. And these are the people who've pushed faith in God out of the public square. These are the people who are at war with the nuclear family. These are the people who are at war with the Constitution of the United States, our traditions, our values. And I agree with you. It has an impact. Now, that doesn't mean in every single case that's what's going on here. But it does mean that it creates a very unhealthy, if not sick, in many respects, society. Honestly, this is why I get behind the microphone every night and fight this. Because you can smell it and taste it and see it, can't you, Joe?
We can. A lot, but we can. I mean, it's just this morning that comes over the radio, 21 school children shot. I turned the radio down so my 6- and 8-year-old couldn't hear it. And they're like, turn that back on. It's like, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
And then the look on my 6-year-old's face as he's walking into school this morning, it's like, that's how it starts right there. Like, start with fear and build from there.
And
I'm
it is frightening
not hating
as a parent.
On the news.
Yep.
It's horribly frightening.
I want parents to go to these school board meetings and say, what are you doing to protect my kids? I want you folks to do this. I want an entire movement. You're already a movement. I want you to build on this movement and go into these school boards and go into these schools. You expect Washington to do so? Forget it. Washington can't do a damn thing. You've got to take charge at the local level and say, I'm looking at your budget. I got it through the Freedom of Information Act because you wouldn't give it to me voluntarily. I want to know, what are you going to do to protect my kids, in case one of these lunatics, one of these maniacs breaks into this school? What are you going to do about it? Who are you hiring? Who are you hiring? How are you training the teachers? That's what I would do. And I'm quite serious. Put your CRT crap aside and focus on what you need to focus on. Protecting my kids, making sure they're safe and healthy. Stop screwing around with their brains. I'm not kidding. It's up to you parents. You can make these schools safer. Not some politician that keeps going on television. That's not going to cut it. Not these idiot hosts who don't even understand what the gun laws are. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, as always. Our trucker friends and our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. And let's pray for these little kids. Let's pray for their families. And God bless.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
We need all units to
respond. Violent crime right
California under siege.
Are gang related.
Criminals set free.
Their local police.
Police attacked.
In shooting victims.
Victims ignored.
Dad, you shot my little brother.
Ultra-liberal California Attorney General Rob Bonta has never personally prosecuted drug traffickers or violent gang members. He has zero experience to do the job. Nathan Hochman does. Nathan is the one candidate for Attorney General endorsed by the California Republican Party. He's the only candidate with the real experience to keep us safe. As Assistant U.S. Attorney, Hochman prosecuted corrupt government officials and locked up violent drug traffickers and gang members.
I'm Nathan Hochman. What's happening in California is unacceptable. Politicians ignore us while communities are attacked. As Attorney General, I'll actually do the job and prosecute criminals. I will always protect California first.
Nathan Hochman, an attorney general who will keep us safe.
Paid for by Nathan Hochman for Attorney General 2022.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State.
from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course, on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today, or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Texas Governor Greg Abbott held a press conference this afternoon on what police know so far about yesterday's school shooting.
There was no known mental health history of the gunman.
And in his remarks airing on KSAT, Abbott said the gunman, 18-year-old Salvador Ramos, did telegraph his intentions via Facebook shortly before he carried out his killing spree.
He said, "I'm going to shoot my grandmother." The second post was, "I shot my grandmother." The third post, maybe less than 15 minutes before arriving at the school, was, "I'm going to shoot an elementary school."
In all, Ramos left 19 children dead, along with two teachers. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Beto O'Rourke is calling on Texas Governor Abbott to cancel his scheduled appearance at the National Rifle Association's leadership summit in Houston following the school shooting. Abbott and other high-profile Republicans, including Texas Senator Ted Cruz and former President Trump, have been slated to attend the event. A new poll shows most voters still suspect cheating took place in the 2020 elections.
Protesting the integrity of elections remains a high priority for American voters, most of whom still suspect there was cheating in the 2020 presidential election. A new Rasmussen Reports national telephone and online survey finds that 55% of likely U.S. voters believe cheating likely affected the outcome of the 2020 presidential election, including 39% who think it's very likely. 39% don't think cheating affected the 2020 election, including 28% who say it's not at all likely. These findings are almost identical to results in March. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Stocks rose broadly on Wall Street today after minutes from the Federal Reserve's most recent meeting indicated the central bank plans more interest rate hikes. The Dow was up by 191 points. More of these stories at townhall.com.
Now that DHS has created a department designed to combat disinformation, which is code for free speech they don't like, one has to wonder what's next. This is why I am a proud supporter of Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. They offer the same nationwide coverage as the major carriers, the same great service with peace of mind that your money is combating the left's attempt to silence you. Patriot Mobile supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, the Constitution, sanctity of life, and our veterans and first responders with plans to fit any budget, plus an excellent 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA or call 972-PATRIOT. Free activation code GORKA. Also, special discounts for veterans and first responder heroes. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. patriotmobile.com/GORKA or 972-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/GORKA.
A quick move by a major network.
CBS has pulled the season finale of FBI following the school shooting Tuesday in Texas. The network said it would not air the show's season 4 finale titled Prodigal Son. The storyline there involved a student's participation in a deadly robbery. It's unclear whether that episode will air in the future. The network aired a different episode in place of the season finale. Jason Walker reporting.
The University of California system has agreed to pay $375 million to more than 300 women who said they were sexually abused by a longtime UCLA gynecologist. The announcement today brings total payouts by the university in lawsuits against Dr. James Heap to nearly $700 million. Heap's had worked for UCLA for 35 years. He denies all charges. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The outbreak of Legionnaire's disease in a New York City neighborhood has sickened 19 people since the beginning of the month, with one person dying.
The city health department says cooling towers in the High Bridge section of the Bronx
have been tested for Legionella bacteria, which causes Legionnaires' disease, a form of pneumonia. The bacteria was found in four of the towers, which the department ordered to be disinfected.
Correspondent Julie Walker. The head of the Food and Drug Administration faced bipartisan fury from House lawmakers today over months of delays investigating problems at the nation's largest baby formula plant that's caused all those delays. FDA Commissioner Robert Califf says conditions at the Abbott plant were surprisingly bad.
We knew that ceasing plant operations would create supply problems, but we had no choice given the insanitary conditions.
And the plant in question is the nation's largest baby formula manufacturing plant, right at the center of the delays. More of these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo. Yes, it is.
That one was for you.
That is my favorite.
Yeah. So I heard.
Oh, you guys are awesome.
That's our new intro.
That's our new intro?
Just for today.
That's not bad.
Good call.
Normally it's Van Halen, so I'm a little off cue here. But
anyway. Ooh, yeah, right? Van Halen's good too, but that's pretty good.
That was at the behest of our lovely people behind
that's
the scenes.
That's a good one. That's a good one. It is hump
They were
day.
Like, hey, we got this. I was like, let's do it.
You know, it is hump day, except for those who work 24/7. Like for me, like, you know, yeah. Wednesday is just another day.
Why do you have to ruin it?
I know.
I'm climbing humps all the time, not just on Wednesday.
Well, anyway, good evening, Northern California.
Good evening.
This is Nigel.
Yeah.
And
I'm James.
Co-pilot James. How you doing?
I'm good. Oh, you know what? The heat is here.
Welcome to Reading. For those of you who are new to Reading, who just moved into Reading, it's going to be like this from now until October.
Yeah, so, pretty much.
All right.
Pretty much.
101 today.
Unless we get one of those freaky
summer
storms.
I think there's going to be a little lull next week.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, welcome to Shasta County.
Welcome.
It is that season, election season. And
we're still in it.
We're still, yeah, 2 more weeks, right?
Everybody's
13 more days.
Everybody,
are you like
fighting.
Ready for June 8th?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am.
By June
it's
8th.
Like summer break, right?
Right?
Yeah.
You get out. For
that's going to be hump day.
That is going to be the true hump day.
Right. So we have our sheriff with us, Sheriff Johnson. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for
welcome
having me.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome to our crazy show.
Right.
You just have to keep doing check-ins with everybody, see where things are at, how people are feeling, what's going on, give everybody a chance to express how they think things are going, that kind of stuff. So
okay.
We appreciate you
seeing as
back.
How the world is changing like every 3 days now.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Isn't it? Yeah.
So for those who don't know, we are new to Reading, new to Shasta County, right? Because we had a lot of people move out over the last 2 years, and we've had a lot of people move in over the 2 years.
Yes, we have.
So we do have a lot of newbies. welcome to Reading.
Mm-hmm.
And James's store is actually a good gauge for the newbies. We have a lot of new people coming in.
Lots of people coming in. Just, you know, you can just kind of get a feel, if you've been doing as many years as I have, that somebody seems just a little different, and so you ask them, you know, you local, and many of them are saying, I am now. And I'm like, oh, really? How long? When you? Oh, we moved here, you know, 6 months ago. We moved here 3 months ago. We moved here 2 weeks ago. I get a lot of that. Where are you coming from? A lot of people from Sacramento.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bay Area, but Sacramento seems to be the prominent, like, transitional mm-hmm. people that I'm running into right now. You know.
I guess that would be the definition.
And strangely enough, people from other parts of the country. That's right. The one that always makes me gobsmacked.
Can't blame them. We got a great area.
That's right, right?
And I'm like, why did you come this way? Right? I mean, for me, it's not the area. It's the California in general, right? Like when I think, why did you move from there to California, knowing what's going on so much in California? But the Northern California, the true Northern California, really still has a very a desire.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's only so many people that can move in. from what I understand, still the aftermath of the car fire put a limit to the number of homes that are available.
Can't build them fast enough.
Right.
Yep.
So.
And are they really even being built that fast right now?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's all relative to what area you're in and how much construction you got going on. But
I guess. I mean, I've seen a lot of
them. They are building them out pretty good.
I just doesn't seem like as much as I would have thought in my head.
Well, in my perspective, it's plenty. They don't need to go any faster.
Okay, so you are our current sheriff, and you've been our sheriff for how long?
Since August of 2021, so about 10 months.
A baby.
Oh, yeah.
And before that?
Before that, I was 9 years. I was your chief of police in the city of Anderson, so South County. And prior to that, for 5 years, I was chief of police in Amador County, a little prison city called Ione.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And prior to that, on the coast in Eureka. That's where I started my law enforcement career, in Eureka PD.
That's right. So, and I was just asking you, you were there for 12 years. So you were in the Eureka PD?
Yeah, Eureka PD. And interestingly enough, I didn't set out to get into city police law enforcement. I ended up in Eureka because of Humboldt State. I went there to finish my college, got accepted there. I was going to be a fish and game warden is what the objective was and the scope was. But
I could see that.
After I graduated Humboldt State and I tested for state fish and game, I was on that list, and I don't know if you guys know this, but the state takes forever and everything they do.
I've heard that.
Yeah, and I was poor, and I needed a job, so I applied for the local PD, and I got hired, and I liked it. And so I took myself off the list and stuck in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you like it right off the bat?
I did. I actually did. And like I said, you know, I had no really intentions of becoming city police, but it was fun, and it turns out I was pretty good at it. So, I liked it a lot.
So you climbed the ranks?
Climbed the ranks, yeah. I went through the whole process. I was on patrol, you know, just a patrol officer to start off with. I spent most of my early career, working graveyards by choice. I'd trade for that because you get more action, and I was young and, you know, fit and adrenaline and all that. And it turned out to work out for me and my family. And yeah, so I ended up being on the SWAT team. I was a canine handler. I worked crime scene investigations and evidence, and I was a mentor. I did a lot of different stuff early in my career.
Yes, but did you work the Bigfoot detail?
Never was a believer.
No, you never came across one?
I never came across one, no. And I spent a lot of time out in the woods.
Well, we're going to have to change that.
Right. Did you said canine?
Yeah, I worked two different narcotics detection canines, both Labrador retrievers. And it was funny is when I used to work graveyards, I have this Labrador in the back of my car.
Uh-huh.
And the bad guys didn't know that I had a Labrador that would just lick you to death. They thought I had a man-eater because it's night and it's in the back of my car. So I taught them to bark on command. So when I would pull up to a group of four or five felons and have to deal with them, I'd have that dog start barking and the car would shake and they think I have a man-eater in the back and everybody's attitude would change. It was actually quite hilarious.
And it was a docile dog that could smell narcotics and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's so cool. Now, with that again, because I'm a dog lover, is that your dog? I mean, does it live with you? How does that work?
Yeah, it's technically owned. Well, it's not technically. It is owned by the city during the time you have them. But the dog goes home with you, stays with you full time. Then at the end of your career, the dog's had a long enough career, you ended up transferring ownership for a dollar, and they give you the dog and retire him out, and you get to keep him for the rest of his life.
So what happened to yours?
That's what I wanted to hear.
What's that?
So what happened to yours?
I kept them both until they died. You bet.
Because I'm like that. Even though it's a working relationship, there's got to be a bond there.
Best partner in the world. I mean, you could be having the worst day at home, worst day with your wife, your kids, or whatever. You get in that car, that dog's just happy to see you and happy to hang out with you. It's the best job I've had in law enforcement.
Oh, good. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
So, Eureka in general, more action than you thought, or
Eureka? Man, it is. There's a lot that goes on in Eureka. It is a great place to work when you're a young cop. A lot of serious crime that goes on, murders and home invasions and
I wonder
and
if it's the
assaults
water.
And
they think it could dispose of the body real easy. That's why.
Well,
Just roll you into the ocean.
I didn't see him. I didn't see him.
But like I said, good place to work. So yeah, there's a lot that goes on in Eureka. Yeah. And so you get a lot of experience really quick because, you know, we don't have, it's not like a big, huge city where you have, if you're on patrol in a bigger city, you go to a major crime scene. As a patrol officer, you go and tape it off, and then you wait for the investigators to come in, and you're on to the next call. Mm. In a place like Eureka and Redding, Redding's very much like this as well. You go to a major crime scene, you're it, you're the guy, and so
you got
to
tape it and solve it within 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's your case.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to take our first break.
Yep.
I wonder what the music's going to be.
I don't know.
We'll be right back.
After the first one, I don't know.
You got it.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back.
We're back.
Good evening, Northern California.
Good evening.
Nigel James, and we have our Sheriff Michael Johnson here with us. And,
hello, everybody.
Giving
hello.
Us the rundown of where he's been.
We were sharing our love stories with our dogs.
Yep.
During the break.
Dog stories, yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you can oftentimes judge a person's behavior, attitude.
Are you judging me, Nigel?
On how they treat animals.
Animals,
right?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah. There's some trait in there.
Yeah, like I was going to say, I've watched a lot of CSI or whatever that was, and a lot of those people in the early ages used to do bad things to animals before they became the torturous people they were on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you finished at Eureka.
Yep. Finished at Eureka, went to the FBI Academy, graduated from that in Quantico, Virginia.
Really?
Yeah. And then I...
A new bit of information.
Took a police chief job in Ione in Amador County, and I was there for 5 years. And then my wife and I were just ready to get back to the North State and didn't necessarily have our sights set on Redding and Shasta County, but we definitely knew we liked the North State. So... the job came open at Anderson, and I applied for that and got that, and I was a police chief there for 9 years.
So how was that?
It was good. It was really good. You know, it was a little tough coming into Anderson. I spent the first 3 months of my career in Anderson in federal court helping prosecute the officer who raped and in custody, and because of law enforcement's very integrous, at least in my mind, and very dear profession. So I wanted to make sure that that happened to protect our image and our integrity. And there's a lot of problems at Anderson when I got there. And so I had to change the culture and change the philosophy of the police department, worked very closely with the city manager and the city council, partnered with the community. We got a sales tax passed, and we changed that whole community. Not me. I'm not saying me changed that community, but I was definitely a leader and a partner in that, and transformed it to what it is now. Well, very proud of what it is now. It makes me smile. I hear people been dubbed the safest city in the North State, and I'm proud to be part of that transformation that took place.
Well, so one of the reasons why we're so fond of Shasta County and we want to help market it is because of other cities like Anderson and Shasta Lake and some of the other cities, because they tend to get left out, right?
Right, sure.
And Anderson in particular, they've done a really good job over the last number of years.
They're rolling.
they are. And you know, it's a really good example. You're talking about tourism and the county. It's a really good example of how when the community, the administration, public safety, public works, everybody comes together, shared vision, works on that vision together and achieves what the city is looking for. And I really think that, I really truly believe that Shasta County as a county can do the same thing we did in Anderson. And I'm hoping that's what I'm bringing to the sheriff's office and to the county, some of that cohesion and, some of that unification and that vision for the county.
So when did you make the switch into the sheriff's department?
When, as we said? August of 2021. So they had some problems in the sheriff's department. There was a lot of drama and turmoil, and they that seat was vacated. I learned that they were going to be appointing a new sheriff. So I decided to put in. I was approached by several people in the community asking me to maybe step up for that. So I approached each council member one by one and told them I was interested. I submitted my resume, competed for it, and I was appointed.
So obviously you've been in there recently, so not enough, not like 9 years or 12 years.
Right.
Not enough time to, let's say, do what you did in Anderson, i.e. like shift the culture.
Yeah.
So if you win in June 7, is that one of your things you want to do is shift the culture? Is there a specific culture within?
Absolutely, there is. There is, and you know, on that note, not that it's anywhere near done, but we've had quite a transformation in just the 10 months that I've been there. So I came in, I'm the outside guy, right? I didn't come from that agency. I didn't grow up in that agency. And so walking into that situation, we had, you know, men and women that belonged to that agency who didn't know me, didn't trust me, didn't know what to expect, and same as me, I didn't know anything about them. So there was a process of feeling out and each other learning each other and trusting each other and getting there. So what I'm very proud of at this point is, you know, during this election came up, and I have been unanimously endorsed by the Deputy Sheriff's Association and the Sheriff's Administration Association for Shasta County, also endorsed by the Reading Managers Association and the PORAC, which is the statewide law enforcement. So those are big deals to me and big endorsements for me, as well as the District Attorney's Office. It's you know, having that trust with the people, your allied agency that you work with, gives you the leg up to be able to start moving the organization in the right direction. And we are so young at the sheriff's office, so young, I mean, as the deputies on the street, and the lack of leadership and the culture there needs to come together and move the right direction. And we have been, and it's very, very exciting. So I'm hoping that I get the next 4 years because I can really make it into something, really be the jewel of the North State if we have a little bit of time to work on it.
So my question to you is why or what explanation would you give? Obviously, you're saying that they're young. I obviously know that they're young by you're saying chronologically, but is that just because it just so happened to be that there was a wave of retirement, or there was people had to leave because of the chaos?
Not because of the chaos. It's more of dynamics of the economy and the people aging out and retiring. It's not unique to us.
Okay.
James, it's a common thread across a lot of places in law enforcement where a lot of the people have retired out because of attrition and other things.
Yeah.
And then now we have this influx of a lot of young guys, and we're missing that mid-management level experience. So
I was curious if it had also to do with the social climate and people being afraid of being in law enforcement, because it seems to be that, you know, no matter what you do, somehow it comes back on you, right? Like,
I'll tell you, that has made recruitment very difficult. It's a different, used to have, so like when I became an officer back to Eureka, there would be 100 guys competing for one job.
Right.
Well, now there's 100 agencies competing for one guy. That's the change in it now. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. really hard to find people, one, that can pass a background
yeah.
and get through everything, and two, just have the interest and the affinity for the profession, because it's just not like it used to be.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I could totally see that. I mean, I watch things and see things and think, oh my gosh, you know, like, I don't know. I can't believe how people behave first and foremost, right?
Right.
And I'm like, why are you acting like that? The person that you're acting like that to has a gun, right? And at some point, they're going to have to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I don't know.
So on the recruitment note, I constantly am recruiting everywhere I go. I go out to dinner. I ask the waiter, hey, you ever thought of a career in law mm-hmm. enforcement? I mean, everywhere we go, me and my wife are constantly trying to recruit into the profession. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, my true philosophy with that is I don't care if I'm recruiting them into Reading Police Department, CHP, anywhere in law enforcement. It's a win for me because of what we need. We need those people, those men and women to stand up for us and protect our rights and do what they're doing. And since it's getting harder and harder to find, mm-hmm. I'm recruiting for anybody I can. Of course, I always try to bend them and sway them now to my agency. But if they want to do something else in another agency, I certainly spend the time with them still and try to get them in.
So for you going from a city, like a municipality, to a sheriff's department, so a county,
yeah,
was that a switch for you, meaning like, you know, for lack of a better term, who you answer to, meaning in the yeah. sheriff's department, is the Constitution, right? You have to be a constitutionalist, hopefully.
Absolutely, I am. it is completely different. I mean, the dynamics of, like you said, you know, I'm elected here in the county, and it's the county politics, the county government, the way they do things is a lot different than municipality. Municipality, as a police chief, you're hired by the city manager and answer to that city manager, and you're not elected. So when you're elected, you answer to the people, and you are very strong as being a constitutionalist and standing up for constitutional rights, liberty, and life and property. That's what we do. So everything's different about it. The things that are similar, though, is, you know, I'm an executive in law enforcement, and law enforcement is law enforcement no matter how you cut it. That there's those basic things that we do to protect the citizens. And what the formula that works, in my opinion, that's worked for me, at least in my career, is being proactive and aggressive law enforcement. So that means instead of sitting around the office and waiting for a call for service to come in, hey, my name's Nigel and my house just got burglarized, and we show up and take the report.
It was James.
James. And instead of that, what we do is when we're patrolling, we see the guy on the bicycle with no light in the middle of a neighborhood in the middle of the night. Instead of driving by him, we stop him and we start asking him questions. And the next thing we know, we've got burglary tools or a bag of dope in the pocket or whatever. We take them to jail, take all their stuff, be proactive, and start going after them. There's 57 other counties in this state that they can go to and live pretty easy, and I don't want Shasta County to be one of them.
So you said the J word. Jail.
Jail, yeah.
I thought it was going to be James.
We said that one, too.
I know.
So I've been here 12 years, and I would say for the last 12 years, even when I wasn't paying attention, I would hear the word jail. Mm-hmm. Like, we need a new jail.
Yeah.
Jail.
Tallest building in the city, jail.
So that's come up, like, it seems like every election season. So is it any different this time? Is it going to be different this time, do you think?
Well, I would like to hope so, yeah. I mean, I've started beating this drum as the police chief in Anderson. I was beating on the drum of let's build a new jail facility, but I'm not looking for a traditional jail. I'm looking for something that'll help solve our community problems. So it's a campus, if you will, opposed to just a jail, and I want it linear opposed to vertical, so we don't have to deal with ADA issues and elevators and everything else. And it's going to have the new jail, new campus will have different aspects to it where we will be able to address mental health, we'll be able to address drug addiction, you know, work release, education, homelessness, all of that. But of course, we'll have several more beds to lock up those people who just don't get it and need to be locked up.
And it would seem like those agencies that provide all that stuff would be nice to be in one facility, right? Instead of scattered all over town. Or here's the other thing. It's like I always say when we still have our business downtown, but it's like, why do you put that kind of stuff in the heart of your town, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's just my opinion, right? Like, you know, everybody's a human being, but if people are picking up their checks and getting their tickets resolved and blah, 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 all these things that are technically what we would consider somewhat of the negative side of humanity, putting it in the heart of your downtown, it's like putting a dagger through your own heart.
Oh, man.
Well, I never understood that, but.
You know, and I'm like, okay.
So let me tell you, you are right on the mark. So I've said from the beginning, if you want to offer all this free stuff to this population who chooses to be homeless, because that's largely what that population is, then why don't you scatter it throughout the county and make them work for it? Why do you centralize it in your main city of your county?
Yeah.
And just put it all there. It's a bad recipe. It's a bad business decision. And,
it is.
And I truly believe
it's
that,
like
too.
It's like feeding a cat on your porch.
So we're getting into it. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue. Sheriff Johnson, thank you.
Thank you.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel and James.
James, yep.
On KCNR 1460.
AM and 96.5 FM.
And we do have our own radio show website, nigelandjames.com.
And it's great.
It's kind of cool, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we put all the archives on there. Over the next couple of days, you'll be able to hear our interview with Mr. Johnson. He's our sheriff.
The law of the land.
Yeah. And he's
the big cheese.
Running to get elected June 7th.
Yes.
I think we're all looking forward to June 8th, like we said.
Oh, my gosh, are we?
I'm already tired just watching the other places in the country voting.
I know. Yeah. Interesting times. So you showed up here at the Sheriff's Department in 2021.
Correct.
And so you're in Anderson in 2020. So you made that transition during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so how was that for you?
On what aspect? Like law enforcement aspect?
Well, meaning
what a
like,
nightmare.
Well, maybe it's different, right? So being from the police department and now being in the sheriff's department. So there's a big talk now, right? All these bills coming down the pike where they're going to.
And we are fighting them tooth and nail through the California State Sheriff's Association, let me tell you.
So, because it's getting pretty interesting where they want to pass it so that law enforcement has to implement whatever the state of California comes down with, right? So then the conversation I've been having or been hearing is it makes it an interesting dynamic when you, like we said before, are beholden to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that come down are not
exactly
constitutional.
Right.
Right. So are you...
Let me tell you something. Yeah. If we clearly know something is not constitutional, I will never enforce it. Right. Constitution is the Constitution. It's the supreme law of the land. I take an oath to the United States Constitution and to the California Constitution. So there's a little bit of maybe conflict there, but ultimately, the United States Constitution trumps everything. So if something's not constitutional, it will not be enforced.
So we all have that.
I like this.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Well, you know, this is that weird season, right? So many of us have that little, there's a little tingle inside, like saying something's coming, right? And if you pay attention to the big picture, right, now all of a sudden we switch from Ukraine to monkeypox. Like, that was like an instant switch, right?
Right.
And I thought for sure it's going to be a little thing, and it's not going to keep growing. It keeps growing and growing and growing.
No. We went from COVID to vaccine to all of a sudden, boom, Ukraine, and then boom, all of a sudden, monkeypox. And right? So for example, I think Belgium's the first country now. A few days ago announced that if you test positive for monkeypox, you're a mandatory 14-day quarantine. Right.
And other countries, it's 21 now.
And all of a sudden, all these other countries are having monkeypox.
This is amazing.
Like all of a sudden, like it's almost like it's on cue. I'm not going to say that it's completely on cue, but it's okay.
Well, but so, also if you do any research on monkeypox and its spread and its viral load and all these things, right? It shouldn't spread the same way.
No.
That it is. I mean, you literally, I mean, what they're talking about now is that you have to be like literally on top of somebody, literally, to get it.
Well, Shasta County, we are, you know, in Shasta County, we have 3,800 square miles, so that's not going to happen, so we're fine, right?
So we ought to be okay.
I think we'll be okay.
Right.
So what you're saying is if they really try to go after us this time around with crazy restrictions that don't make any sense at all, right?
Right.
What would the correct term be? You'd be on the side of the people, shall we say?
Absolutely. Yes. It's, so when the mask, mandates and the, all the COVID stuff was coming down, I was actually chief of police in Anderson during that time. And they being the state tried to, you know, mandate that we as a police were supposed to go out and enforce this, especially with businesses. And I did not. I gave a direct order to all our officers. We are not going to one single business and telling them how to run their business. We are not enforcing any mask law, you know, and we didn't. So the only person that had really leverage on that, at least in the city of Anderson at the time, was the state, who sent alcohol beverage control, ABC, to those businesses that had liquor licenses and basically strong-arm them into compliance, otherwise they'd lose their liquor license. And so that's a perfect example of where maybe now as a sheriff I would have more power to step in and say, not constitutional. I don't think you're going to do that.
So did that actually happen in Anderson, where some businesses visited?
Two that I know, yep.
And isn't it strange how they enforce things with certain types of businesses, right? It's like talk about unconstitutional in one sense of just what they're doing, but it's very selective on who they're going to bully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not an even, you know, slap on the wrist. It's just always something, isn't it?
I personally didn't understand why one business was deemed, vital?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Essential.
Essential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Essential. And then another business doing something similar.
None of that made sense.
But a mom and pop version where they had to close.
Right? Yeah.
Let me explain it to you a little bit. So, you said you can't understand that. You have a governor that has no sense at all, so there's your answer.
Well, no, okay. So I do actually get it because it's follow the money, right?
Right.
Follow the money. So I get it. But it was just kind of sad to see it happening here.
It really was.
Well, it was a perfect example of that kind of, I think, floating in the middle, right? Like most people would look at Enjoy the Store as a gift store, right? I would think for the most part, right? But we actually carry quite a bit of locally produced food, local and regionally produced food. And so we are classified as a class two market. And a class two market actually was considered on the essential list because we carried products like flour and dried beans and things that were
staples
and vitals that would not spoil. You know what I mean? Like, so they were things that you could need and keep in your pantry for long periods of time and then cook to survive if you were quarantined, that kind of stuff. So, but it was very interesting because I very quickly got phone calls from the public health department And they were always like very nice at the beginning, like, you know, oh, hey, this is so-and-so, probably because I'm just trying. If you have any, you know, COVID mandate policy in the store, they're asking you what your policy was, like if, you know, requiring people to mask, these kind of things. And it was always the lead into, you know, you're not supposed to be open. And I would say, well, why not? And they would say, well, because you're not essential. And I'd say, but I'm a class 2 market. If you look at the class 2 market listing, it says that we are essential. And then they would say, oh, we're sorry, we didn't realize that's what that you were under. And then I would say, isn't there some type of a database that you guys are looking at? Or are you just randomly calling people because you want to?
Yeah, which leads you to believe that you could have not had any of that stuff and just told them that. And they would have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that happened 3 times.
Yeah,
I got
really?
A call 3 times, yeah. Wow. For the same thing. And then I got the crazy.
So the tip is, yeah. If you get the phone call this time, you just say you're class 2.
Yep.
Okay, good.
There we go. And I wasn't offended. I mean, I knew people were doing their job.
The knowledge that comes through this show.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, people have to do their things and their jobs and stuff. But you would think that, like, legitimately, I don't know, maybe because this is our first pandemic in this realm, they just didn't have a database. But I'm just assuming they know everything about everybody. So yep. If you just simply looked at it as a class 2 market, you'd know.
So is this the first time that you're actually running for an office?
It's the first time in my career I've had to run for an office, yes.
So do you consider yourself a politician now?
Gosh, no. Absolutely not. I consider my guy a poor sheriff that has to run for a position.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. You know, on a serious note, I can't wait to get back to work. That's all I want, is this to be done so I can get back to work. Because trying to run an agency, day-to-day business, and serve the public like I'm supposed to be doing, and run a campaign, it's exhausting. Yeah.
So was there a slight learning curve?
Oh, huge.
Jumping into the deep end to becoming a politician, right?
Yeah, huge learning curve. I'm still learning. I would have done a ton of things differently if I was running again, yeah. But... I'm just running this time, and this is the now, and this is what I'm dealing with. So,
so what would be some of the lessons that you have learned about, you know, having to run an election? Because now, whether you like it or not, right, you get labeled a politician or you get labeled a candidate. So, right out of the gate, without you having any say, so you're automatically lumped into one group or the other. You get labels attached.
Yeah,
to you.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any avoiding that. People are going to label you and come up with their own interpretations and whatever. I think the first thing I would do if I run another election is get myself a muzzle and put it on myself, because I'm not. I haven't been the greatest about.
Have you had a couple of moments?
Speaking of politically correct all the time, right? That's hard. I'm just an honest guy, and I sometimes speak my mind, and it doesn't always fare well for me, I guess.
That's hard.
What?
Just to not.
Well, you don't want me to repeat it, do you?
No. So I would say, no, that's
hard because, like, you know what? A lot of times it's a visceral reaction. You speak from the heart. People have done something to label you, whatever, and it's not genuine or correct, right? And you want to be able to say something back that negates what's being said that's not fair, or, you know, in any whatever the circumstance may be, right? And you know, and I, for me too, I mean, I have to constantly think about what I'm going to say because it could get me in trouble. But I also always say to myself, it's my right to say it.
Well, and it's true.
Even
but,
if it gets me,
but when
not,
you're running for an office,
no,
and,
I know.
And, you know,
but
you,
again, that's
yeah,
part of the game.
It's
right.
It's very hard to navigate that, and especially when people want to spread misinformation or falsehoods about you, and they portray them as facts. But the part with me is, I'm not that guy. I'm not going to get into a back and forth. I'm not going to spend my time trying to rebut those non-truths. I'm just who I am. I'm running on my experience, my education, my history, and it's going to be what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this particular election is probably one of the most important ones in a long, long time. And so, and I think certain offices are going to be very important, especially the sheriff's department.
I would agree.
Having a little tingle of what's coming. So I think the sheriff's department is a vital, and I think it's very important that people in our community know exactly who you are. So I wouldn't worry I wouldn't worry about the PC thing. We just want to know who you are, right?
Well, it's a make and break. I mean, like I said, I was laughing, but the law of the land, like you said, right?
Yep.
You're gonna follow the Constitution. If somebody comes and gets in a position like that of power where the Constitution doesn't mean anything to them, there goes the protection of the people.
You want to know who I am? Here's who I am. So I've been in law enforcement for 26 years. I am 100% integrous in that profession and hold true to serving the people. Who I am right now doesn't change. I am the sheriff. That is a position I hold. A position I hold in an organization, and I have a job to do as that position, which is serve the people. But who I really am is Mike Johnson, the husband of 29 years and the father to two, and a avid hunter, avid fisherman, and a dog trainer. That's who I am. That's really who I am. But what I do, I take very seriously. I take my oath of office extremely seriously, and my service to the people that I am elected to serve.
So you've done something right in the marriage department.
Yeah. Right? I know.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, not bad.
Awesome. Well, let's get some...
We're going to talk to your wife.
Yeah.
So let's get into that a little more when we come back. Thank you.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. 29 years to a Portuguese. Dude, you got some cojones.
Portuguese, born on the islands.
Oh, really?
St. George, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So she actually speaks Portuguese.
Yeah, right? When she's mad, you know it.
She's Portuguese.
You don't know what she's saying, you just know that she's mad.
I just know that she's mad, yeah, exactly. Yeah, 29 years. I'm very proud of that. She's a good woman. Stood by me through all this mess and all the career and the trials and tribulations of being law enforcement. So, yeah, I'm pretty lucky.
Okay, so you're in Shasta County, and so you actually, you're one of those who does get out and enjoy the outdoors of Shasta County.
Yeah, I do. Well, not since I became sheriff, but yeah, I do. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I like to get outdoors. Do it a lot.
Any favorite spots you like to go?
Well, there's a bunch. I love the Sacramento River. I love salmon fishing on the Sacramento River. I love geese and duck hunting in the Fall River area. It's pretty much all over. I deer hunt and...
So when you're fishing in the Sacramento River, I love to fish, but I'm not a fisherman, right? So I don't know any of the rules, so to speak. So when you see people standing in the river, when you're driving over 44 Bridge or whatever, they're fishing for like trout or something, right?
Yeah, those are fly fishermen. This stretch in through here, the city is really big. It's world-class waters for trout fishing, fishermen. Right. So I'm primarily a bait fisherman, so okay. I go fish the deep holes during the salmon runs. Yeah.
You're in a boat, okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Fun stuff.
It is.
When people come, do people from out of the area come to visit you?
Yes.
And when they do you send them off to, like, go check out certain places, like Lassen or Bernie Falls or anything? Or do you give them a menu?
Yeah, we do. We take them, to a bunch of different places. We have family that comes up a lot and visits us, or a big family unit. So whenever, in fact, my son from San Diego just left to go back home this morning. So he was here with his wife and my new grandbaby, which was fun.
Aww.
Yeah, first one.
First?
Yeah.
Oh, Grandpa.
Yeah, Grandpa Johnson. Thanks for that, James. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Grandpa Johnson, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't add that to the list of accomplishments.
I didn't. Yeah. No.
Well, that's a new one. Check.
Yeah. So for all the newbies who are here in town, it took me a little while to get used to Reading because I was in LA for so long that, you know, it took 45 minutes to get to the freeway. And all of a sudden, I'm in a place where it takes 12 minutes
right
to get to the other side of town.
Uh-huh. Isn't it great?
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the grand opening of Trader Joe's is on the front page of the newspaper. I'm like, okay, this is a little different, right? So for those who are the newbies here, what are some of your favorite places to go eat?
To go eat? Yeah. Oh, my number one favorite place is Norm's in Palo Cedro.
Okay.
I love Norm's. Norm's is a great place.
I have not been yet.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Heard lots of great things. Heard the trials and tribulations because they were so popular so fast.
Yeah.
It was hard for them to keep up.
It was. They went through a little growing pains with that when they first opened, but they've got it down now, and it's a really good restaurant. Oh, well, I like it.
You know,
Carlene's. I like Carlene's.
Keep up.
We'll have to talk to Jared and Carl and see if we can do a remote from there.
Yeah, Carlene's is great.
Yeah, Carlene's is great. I live in Palo Cedro, so I also like PCI there. You know, the cook your own steak thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just like that atmosphere. That's a lot of fun.
I like that place too.
Yeah.
Let's check this out.
Well, Norm's I haven't, but
Wilda's. I love Wilda's for lunch.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Buddha bowls. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Haven't had that in a while.
Right.
Anything in Anderson?
Anything in Anderson? Yeah, well, it used to be Mary's. It's now Charlou's. I love Charlou's.
Now, did they change the name in Anderson, too, to Charlou's?
Yes. Yeah.
What was that all about?
They own that franchise, the Mary's Pizza franchise, for a while, and I think they ended up buying it out and changing the name.
Okay.
Charlou is the guy that owns it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So, do you consider yourself a native now of Shasta County, furniture?
But I don't think Shasta County considers me a native yet.
Well, there's some advantages to being outside the fishbowl, right, and coming in just kind of like you said before, right?
Yeah, as far as my profession goes, for sure, because I bring a lot of different ideas and experience. So this is my fourth county I've lived in California, absolutely the best, but the fourth county. So I have a different perspective, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, coming from outside the fishbowl, coming from outside, you're able to see the blind spots that some people can't see, right? Like the whole, what water are you talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we've noticed that for Shasta County, too. When I moved to Shasta County, I'm like, can't you see how amazing this place is? Why are you down on your own county? Like, this place is amazing.
But that's pretty typical. People that, you know, you grow up in an area, you always want to get out, right? I'm leaving this place. And you go out and spread your wings, and then you realize, hey, I came from
a pretty
good place.
I was like, say, when people complain about this place, I said, well, you know, there's four people that complain about living in Saint-Tropez, too. But, you know, right? There's always somebody who complains.
Mm-hmm.
So how have you seen over the last 10 years that you've been here? How have you seen Shasta County change?
Well, I've seen a drastic change in the influx of a criminal transient population, if you will. So I'm not talking about the transients on the street. I'm talking about people that are coming up I-5 and victimizing our community. It's definitely been more profound and a bigger impact on this region. So, you know, there's some of that comes just because of drugs, or some of that comes population based that are moving human trafficking and stuff up and down the corridor.
Is a dirty.
It is.
Well,
it
we're
is.
On I-5 and
corridor.
And you know, for a while there, I was working with, you know, homeless rock stars and getting to the whole homeless situation. And I don't think people here realize how much human trafficking actually goes on here.
Yeah, it's significant. It's significant everywhere. And, you know, we have One of our problems with our county is the illegal marijuana grows, and I'm talking about the big cartel, organized crime marijuana grows in all through this county, and those are the same people that are responsible for a lot of the human trafficking, a lot of the heroin, a lot of the fentanyl and stuff that's being brought up and down here in our county. So we have launched a kind of a war on that, and we've been going full force on marijuana eradication, and we'll continue that as time goes on here.
So is it, I know this sounds weird, is it tough taking on the human trafficking scenario?
It is. It's tough because it involves a very complex investigation to get into. I mean, just rescuing a victim is one thing, but if you're actually trying to break the chain and get inside the organization that's trafficking these people, it's a very complex investigation. It takes time, money, resources to get into. So yeah, it is. It is.
And I don't, to be really honest with you, I don't even understand the concept. I mean, I hear the word all the time, and I guess I have a perception of what that means.
So in Anderson, we did a great case.
I'm like, what the hell is it?
It started with the Chinese massage parlors, mm-hmm. and we had one in Anderson, and that's where it started. And so we got into that and figured out it was linked to a few in Redding, which was linked to some in Red Bluff, which ended up being linked to some in Arizona, which ended up being linked to some in Miami, which were coming out of the country. It's just, but it was over a year and a half investigation that to get us there, and it was a great case and made some great arrests.
So then what does that actually mean? The people that are working in these facilities are working against their will, or they're
brought over, usually from out of the country on a contract or a promise that either they're kidnapped and taken into like slave labor, right. and their families are threatened, or they are brought under maybe the promise that if you work for X amount of years, we'll help get your family over here, you'll get asylum, and you'll be, you know, a United States citizen, which is all a bunch of BS.
And this person's just like an indentured.
See, the sad part is, yep. James, that humans are more valuable than drugs, right?
Absolutely.
Price per pound, literally price per pound.
Absolutely. I can't wrap my head around any of that.
That's crazy. It's really crazy how it works like that.
It's because, you know, and I would say the vast majority of people, you know, don't have the wherewithal to even think about that, and let alone that it happens right here, right? But when we get deep into it, you realize it does, and it's like it freaks people out. Like, really? Yeah.
No, it totally freaks me out because I'm like,
so
I can't believe that
happened. Think about the case I just told you about. That's Anderson, one of our small cities in our county, where, you know, they're able to hide and start doing some of that, set up shop, and you wouldn't think about it. Like you said, oh, yeah, you know, it doesn't happen here. That's somewhere else. That's the big cities. Well, no, in fact, it's happening here.
It's probably more prevalent in the smaller cities just because it's not known, right? Or it's not part of
I forgot the exact number, how many come through here, but because we're on I-5 and it's exactly that halfway point between L.A. and Seattle, we're like the perfect little stopping point. You know, you get a couple of
human
houses
trafficking
and warehouses.
Leg stretch. How horrible.
So you have actually come across that.
Yes, we have. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So what's next for you?
How
can people reach you?
How can people reach me? So people can reach me on, there's the campaign website, which is Johnson for Sheriff 2022, and that's a Facebook site. Or if you go to the Shasta County Sheriff's Facebook or website, my email address and my contact information is on there. And I tell people all the time, you know, you reach out and you want to talk to me or bring something up. I'm very good at responding to people. Not always the same day. Sometimes not always the same week. But
you responded to us very quickly.
Yeah, but I eventually get back to you. And so I do very much appreciate people's perspectives, their ideas, their creativity, their input on a variety of things. You know, I'm not afraid to take constructive criticism. I'm not afraid to try new things and fail because that's how you end up getting to solutions. So anybody wants to reach out, please feel free to, and I will get back to you.
What do you want people to do for you? If you could tell people, you know, like reaching out's one thing. That's, you know, me wanting
you know what I want
you.
People
what
to
would
do
you would want
people I want people to pay attention and get involved in their community. That's what I want. Because it can't be done. Let's go back to Anderson, where since we were talking about Anderson and the success there, a huge part of that success was getting the neighborhoods involved, getting the local businesses involved, and having a connection with them and having them actually assigned a liaison officer who would be their connection and be part of the solution rather than just somebody complaining and part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's a good
one. It really does make a difference.
I'm sure it does.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. Are you running this campaign by yourself? Or do you have
somebody? Absolutely not. Yeah. If I was doing that, I probably wouldn't even be here. I have a team of people that I selected that are helping me, and I'm very grateful for them. And they're putting in a lot of hard work. I'm putting in a lot of hard work, too. I'm going doing things like this. I'm going knocking on doors. I'm doing everything. Kissing
babies.
Yeah, the whole nine.
Well, you know, you could bring some dogs along and...
Yeah. Dogs are a big sucker.
It's like a baby and a dog, right?
My dog Brandy, my yellow lab, I've made her official part of my campaign committee for sure.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks again. Thanks for the camel. appreciate that.
One minute left.
All right. Let's go out with that.
With the camel.
Let's go out with Hump Day.
Yeah, right. Now he's got to cue it back up.
He's going to find it.
Put him on the spot here.
We have a newbie in the studio today.
But he's doing great.
He's doing awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Jared didn't even have to correct him.
I haven't seen Jared jump up and run to the computer. Oh, here he goes.
There was no slapping?
No.
Okay, so we spend the last minute talking? Yeah. Is that how we're doing there?
Thank you again for coming.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Again, guys, I really appreciate you having me on. Fun. Thanks for the conversation.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll work together more on the tourism part of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we look forward to working with you on that.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Guess what day it is.
See you next week.
Guess what day it is. Huh? Anybody? Julie. Hey, guess what day it is. Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is.
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
KCNR.